think we're ready. I always like to start something with kind of a, I know we've been pretty serious, so hang with me. I want to start with kind of a cute, funny story about something in my past, and the Lord made me think about this. When I decided on the passage I would kind of teach on today, and so that's why I had this chair up here, because I'm going to kind of demonstrate. When I was probably like 16 or 17 years old, I was in a Christian school, a private Christian school. I had moved, we were here in San Antonio, and I had moved from a middle school that was kind of a, you know, it was kind of a big middle school. It was a very, I was not a very, I was not like, kind of like what I am now. So I was not very sure. I didn't have any, you know, I didn't speak in public. I would never have thought about that. Yeah, exactly. No confidence, no self-esteem. I would not have even sang in public, much less spoke in public. So anyway, but the story I'm going to tell is a story that I had been in this private school for probably 2 or 3 years. And so we decided, do y'all know what a lock-in is? We decided to have a prayer lock-in. Okay, so we, now you have to imagine, this is a, okay, think 16-year-old brain. Just put, keep that in your mind, 16-year-old brain, okay? And in the school, there were girls and there were boys. And, you know, at 16, what are you interested in as a 16-year-old girl? Boys, okay? Just going to say. Anyway, we had a lock-in. And as they did in our Christian school, they split us up. They split up the boys from the girls, and we were in this lock-in, right? And this one particular girl, who was somebody I really admired, I don't even know if she was my age or maybe younger, but anyway, we were all in this lock-in. So we're in this, my school was in an apartment building, so portion of the apartments was a school, private school. And so we had classrooms, we had this one room, this one apartment that was kind of set up as a prayer area, a prayer room, okay? So you can imagine it had chairs and couches, and it had, a kitchen because it was an apartment, and a bathroom and a bedrooms and things like that. And so anyway, we're in this living room of this apartment, and this one girl, we're all there at the lock-in. Now think, 16-year-old brain, okay? Remember that, 16-year-old brain. This girl is in the kind of a barrel chair. This is not a barrel chair, so it won't really make us. But she's in this chair. She's in this chair. I'm going to put my mic down for a minute. And she's like, we're praying. She's like this. And occasionally I tear gas. Occasionally. All through the night, I'd see that. Except there began to be a time, I think I was sometimes seeing it, and I really wasn't seeing her move her mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, the whole time, she was there. Beautiful, beautiful blonde hair. Perfectly laid back. I'm going to tell you, 16-year-old brain, remember that. I'm over here on the floor somewhere, sitting. I'm not going to cross my legs because I don't do that anymore because, you know, I could, but I'm not going to because I have on a dress. Sitting, looking at her. Okay, now, let me tell you, in that day and age, Melissa can attest to this. We would have these lock-ins. They would give scripture. Nowadays, there's more instruction. You know, we're a little more structured, which is good. And I'm not saying they weren't structured, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, we were in there. They didn't kind of give us a list. I like to have a list of things to pray for now. You know, I love Melissa because she always comes with a list. And she has a program set up, even when we're going to do prayer. And I love it because I know what I'm doing. I don't get distracted. I don't get distracted. So I'm sitting there, 16-year-old brain. And I'm going, man, she is so spiritual. Oh, my God. Will I ever be that spiritual? And the whole time, I'm supposed to be praying, 16-year-old brain. Man, look how great she looks. Laying there, you know. Look how great she looks. She's not even falling over. Look at her. She is so spiritual, and she is... You know, I said, man, look at her. Okay, fast forward a few days. I find out either the next day or maybe years later. I don't know. I can't remember. But 16-year-old brain, I find out that the entire time she was sitting there, She was sleeping the entire time. Okay, so like I said, I was telling somebody this morning, things are never as they seem. You know, nothing is ever as it seems. I've learned that really very much so in the past couple of years that, you know, you can look at that. The Lord says, that's a great story to tell because, you know, as you do, and as you do, as you grow, even as a woman, as you grow, you compare yourself to other people. You say, well, if I could just be like that person, or if I could just, you know, have that knowledge, or if I could just have that ability, or if I could just look like that, or if I just had that hair or that outfit or whatever, you know, you're always comparing yourself. 16 years old, I was always comparing myself to someone else, you know, and never looking at what I had and saying, oh, thank you, God, that I am who I am, you know. Hence the title of my message today. I had no idea you were going to sing those songs, but that we're a blessing. Now, sometimes we have to get ourselves in a position to be blessed. I would say all the time we have to get ourselves in that position. It's a positional type thing. I don't know why I even said that. It's not even in my notes. But one of the main things that I memorized, one of the biggest things we did in our school was we memorized scripture. It was a Christian school. Remember that. You know, so our program required that we memorize scripture. One of the first passages that I memorized, and it never really took root in my life until later on when I really started thinking about what I was reading, but it is Psalm 1. And you all probably know that. I'm going to read this, and then I have also, which I need to find. Oh, here it is. I have another version, too, that I want to read. But the passage is Psalm 1. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's very short. 6 verses. If you don't know this, it would be good for you to memorize this because it is good. Just, it. You know, there are so many passages in the Bible that all go together, but they're just like they walk us into life. You know, and they take us through things. If we would just have them in our heart, you know, when we're going through something, we can take that into life with us, you know. But this one specifically has really helped me. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'll tell you, when I went to this Christian school, we had, just because it was a Christian school, didn't mean that we didn't have issues. Didn't mean that it wasn't sometimes as bad as a public school. I mean, we had issues, you know. There were a group of us kids who were church kids and a preacher's kid. You know, my dad at the time was a pastor, and that had all kinds of issues on it in its own self. But, you know, for a girl of 16 years old, you know, and going to school with your 15-year-old sister, you know, and then your little brother, who was, I think my brother, 5 years younger than me. So, you know, there he was, you know, 11. So we had this whole thing, and everybody knew who we were. We also had another group of kids in the school that nobody in San Antonio would take, and they were in our school. They had all kinds of issues, drug addiction issues. Some of them had been incarcerated, you know. I mean, they were some rough kids. Maybe they'd been part of gangs at that time, whatever, if we'd had gangs at that time, I don't even remember. But they were rough kids, okay? So there were things so we had an ungodly sort. Do you understand what I'm saying? We had a really ungodly sort that we were dealing with. So when I read this portion of scripture, it starts out with, blessed is the man. If you just pull that out, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But what makes you blessed? okay? You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So I'm going to reverse all this. Nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay, so if we're walking in the counsel of the godly, okay, if we're standing in the way of God, if we're sitting in the seat of God, whether we're here at this place or we're even if we're out in the world, but we're still in God, what are we going to be? We're going to be blessed, right? We're going to be blessed. And then it talks about, but in his delight, we're going to have delight. Do you understand that? We're going to have delight. We're going to be delighted, okay? So my first point, if you look on that sheet, blessing follows walking, standing, sitting according to God's word, okay? That means you don't just pull out one little piece of God's word and say, this is what I'm going to do right here. You can't do that. That's not how this works. None of it works that way. It's a complete and total puzzle. Is everybody understanding that? That's why I'm referring to Psalm 1 on that. Okay, I want to tell another story. I was at the chiropractor last week, and my chiropractor was telling the story about her little daughter who's like six years old or something, and they go into HEB, and the HEB person there kind of knows them, and so they give her what they call HEB bucks. I don't know what that is, but anyway, they give her bucks, and so apparently you can win something or do something, and, you know, so she scratches or something, and she didn't win or whatever, and she just looked at her mother, wisdom of a child, let me just tell you, wisdom of this child. Still saying Yeshua, she called him Joshua. Joshua is not ready for me to have this yet. Okay? But she knew in her heart that Yeshua was going to bless her. Regardless, she just knew right at that point that the timing wasn't hers. Okay? So when you're walking in life and you're walking with God and you're going, okay, God, what's going on here? This situation's happening. Why is this happening? And, you know, I'm supposed to be blessed because I'm, you know, walking. You know, I'm listening to the counsel of the godly. I'm standing, sitting, you know, in your ways, trying to make all this, you know. And you understand, I heard somebody say something today, you don't have to do anything, you know. It's because of his righteousness, not our righteousness. There's not enough good works in this world that can get us to heaven. You understand that? It's good. God wants you to do good things. He wants you to be willing and obedient and wants you to do good things. He wants you to be nice to people. You know, some of us could just, I mean, I know me, just start by being nice to other people. You know, just come on. You know, not, you know, don't be the natural self, be the Jesus self, you know. Okay, so, and we're saying to God, well, I'm doing all this. You understand, it's not about you. God wants you to be blessed, but it's not about you. He wants you to walk in it because you want to walk in it, and it brings us to a place. So suddenly, blessing will follow walking, standing, sitting according to God's word. People think if they just do one step, that immediately, you know, it's going to trigger something, and it's a whole process. You know, there are things in our life that we don't even realize that, hey, oh, I need to deal with this over here. Or I need to deal with that, you know. Okay. So the next thing, being planted, standing firm, fruitful, strong, prosperous. You know, I'll say this. I don't believe that anybody can be fruitful in this life if we're always running here and there. And, you know, it's hard for, you know, we have to get planted. We have to get, you know, in a place. I'll tell you, and I have a lot of experience here at this church. I do. I get it. God, I'll never understand it. I mean, I come in and I'm in my mind, yakking in my head, you know, in my mind. I'm up here on stage, yakking in my head, you know, and the Lord is ministering to me and telling me, hello, get your act together. You're up here. Excuse me. You know, and I mean, that's the way God talks to me. I don't know about you, but that's my personality. I have to kind of be like God's going, yo, hello, are you with it today? you know. And one week I was up here, and I'd been on the praise team for a while, just kind of in the thing. And she's excellent. She knows exactly what to say. She never has any idea. I never go up to her and say, this is what I'm dealing with today. You know, I just don't do that. You know, she didn't need to hear that. I was a preacher's kid. I don't want somebody coming up to me 5 minutes before I'm going to go to the service and go, here, let me dump all this on you before you go to play the piano. So I don't do that. So when I'm dealing with something, I just kind of go, okay, you know, that's there. But sometimes you get in your own head, you know. And so I'm up there doing this blah, 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 blah in my head. And, da, 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 and, you know, what about this? And the Lord just spoke to me. And he had spoke to me earlier in the week. I just didn't hear it. He said, when are you going to learn to just flourish where I've planted you? And I have planted you here. And if you will just stop, you can flourish. Well, 2 weeks later, I was doing a bunch of stuff she had me doing. It was wonderful. But here's the thing is God had to, you know, I had to get planted. I had to say, okay, Lord, I'm planting myself. Now, I wasn't saying it over the microphone. I was just in my head going, Lord, I'm planting. I'm making, you know, I'm making a, to me, sometimes I have to relate it to a physical thing. But I'm saying, Lord, I've got my feet here, I'm planted, I'm standing in this place, and God, you're going to do something. So prosperity begins, you know? So you have to, it's about, you know, a lot of times people want to say, well, why am I not being blessed? Yet, you know, you can't even attend church one day a week. I mean, I'm just saying. I hear that often, and I have experience with it because I've been in the ministry and been in a church situation for most of my life. And I've noticed that people, when they get into situations or trouble, they'll run for the hills rather than come to the church, which is where they can get healed, which is where God can do a work in their life. You know, and there's people here that'll, you know, minister to you, and they don't even have to tell them what's going on. They'll just sense something, and they'll come up and say, can I pray for you? Or can I, you know, is something, are you all right? Are you okay? Or they just go, hey, how you doing today? And it changes something in that person. So getting planted in a place, you know, reading the word consistently. I mean, you know, God asks a few things of us, very few things, and he gives us so much more. And we act like, oh my God, I've got to sit down and read the Bible? I mean, I've seen people say, really, I have to read it every day? And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't you? Don't you want to know God? Okay, it would be like, okay, I'm married to Michael, but it would be like if I never talked to him, I never asked anything about him. That's kind of like reading a person, looking at a person. It would be like if I didn't know that there were certain things that he liked, you know, that he is a type A personality. You probably haven't figured that out about him, right? He doesn't like to be late anywhere, okay? If he's not 15 minutes early, then he's late, okay? That's his personality. I've become kind of like that because I'm around him all the time. We will be married almost, 35 years this year, okay? So I've become more like that. That's how God is. If you don't read his word, you're not going to know his heart. You're not going to know what he thinks of you. You're not going to know how to walk in life and live your life if you don't read his word. So you have to do it consistently. You have to put it, I've heard passages hundreds of times. And literally, every time I hear a passage, at some point I'll have an enlightenment and a bulb will go like this, you know, and something will go off and God will say, hello. I know you've read this 100 times, but hello. You know? All right, so, and only because I need to see. And this is a key one for me. The third one is God knows our way, our future, our purpose. He has a plan. We don't have a plan. You know? We may have passions for things. We may have desires for things. And those are things that probably God put in our DNA, put in our body to give us a purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? We may have certain things that we are good at. If we're a good cook, that's important. That's important because I like to eat. So I'm glad that there's a lot of good cooks here, okay? That's important, okay? We may be a person that we crochet beautifully. She has a great ministry of crocheting and doing things that are creative. I love that because I love to look at those things. I have a shawl that she gave me when my mother passed away. I still wrap myself in that shawl every night. It reminds me of my mother. My mother would have never made anything like that, but because Barb made it for me, it was a reminder that God was taking care of me, that I was comforted, that I was loved, that I, just because I'm missing her, doesn't mean that I'm not loved, doesn't mean that I'm not comforted. Doesn't mean I don't have that friend, that person that was with me, okay? So God knows the what, the how, the when. We don't need to worry about that. Do you understand? We spend a lot of time worrying how things are going to work out. And we don't need to do that because he's bigger than all of that. I often say that. I often have to, and I say it because I'm reminding myself, God's bigger than all of this, Teresa. He has a big purpose and a big plan. You just need to get in line with it, you know? Honestly, that's the truth. We need to get in line with it. The next verse that I want to think, and I put that under that particular one. This verse, this was so cool. I went recently, did a lunch with a friend who's like my best friend in high school, and we hadn't seen each other. She couldn't remember how long it had been, but I think it was about 30 plus years that we hadn't seen each other. We had seen each other at a reunion. And it was just kind of one of those fluky, weird situations, you know. It wasn't really even all that good. I wasn't even all that, you know. It's kind of a distant memory, you know. But we had seen each other. But anyway, she and I sat down, and she, at a point in her life where she was going through something really terrible, a divorce, and she was married to another really good friend of mine, okay? And they divorced. They had two children. And there were so many things that had happened that I wasn't even aware of, you know. And so anyway, we were sitting down. And she said particularly that she would go into this church at the time that she was going to when she was going through this divorce. And she kind of, she was going through the situation. She didn't want someone asking her a bunch of questions. She didn't want anybody treating her like she was this poor, pitiful thing because she's not that kind of girl. She's never been that kind of girl. She was a great strength to me when I was young and just amazing. Came to the Lord when she was about 14 years old. So she wasn't like me. I got saved when I was probably 5, okay? So our lives were very different. But anyway, she was going through this situation, and she would go into this church, and the pastor would say this verse to her all the time, Jeremiah 29:11-14. And what he would say, one of the passages talks about hope, and I know we're talking about hope a lot, and so that's another thing I want to talk about too. But this particular passage says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." An expected end, not an unexpected end, an expected end. God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has an expectation of what he wants to happen for you, okay? "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." You know, we have to pray in order for the Lord. He knows all things, but we have to show up, and he shows up. And he's always there. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he wants a relationship is what I'm making the point here, okay? "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, The Lord's desire is to give us hope. He has an expected end. That's what I want to kind of hone in on. There's another version, which I didn't use the other version on Psalm 1, but there's another version. It's the Passion Translation. I'm going to read this. Y'all don't have it. So here's what Yahweh says to you. I know all about the marvelous destiny I have in store for you, a future planned out in detail. My intention is not to harm you, but to surround you with peace, prosperity, and give you a beautiful future glistening with hope. Now, when this pastor would say this to my friend, he would say to her, you have an expected end. You have an end with hope. Every Sunday, she would walk in the door, and he would say that to her. She said he was probably the only person I could have received that from. Because she said, I didn't want anybody feeling sorry for me. I didn't want anybody touching me. I didn't want, you know, when you're in a situation like that and you've been so hurt. I mean, I love my friend who he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But, I mean, he was so cruel to her in some ways. You know, I knew him since I was 13, 14 years old. I grew up with him in church, but he was cruel to her. He hurt her. She was my friend too. Okay? I had no idea how badly he hurt her. Okay? But the point was she was making, now she's remarried, her kids are flourishing, doing well. You know, God's done some miraculous things in her life. She has such a testimony. Such a testimony. But he would say to her, an expected end, hope. He would talk that to her every Sunday she'd come in. And I think she just said, you know, she said, I would almost just go every week so I could just hear that. Just hear that. Well, not too long ago, it's probably been a year or two ago, she found out that she had a brain tumor, and they went in and did surgery. Well, the whole end of this is that they took the tumor out, but it blinded her in one eye, so she can't drive anymore. But you know what? You would not even. It's like you look at her and you don't even see that. You don't even see that. I saw someone so full of wisdom, so full of life. She's always doing things. She doesn't treat herself like she's disabled. You know, some people would just stop. You know, it's not like that for her. Because she knows God has an expected end. She knows there's hope, you know. Glistening with hope. When you call on me and come to me in prayer, I will listen to your every word. This is beyond me, that God is so, you know, wonderful, that he can hear every word that Deborah's saying, every word I'm saying, every word Mary's saying, every word Mary Lou's saying, Barb, you know. He knows everything that we think, every word we're saying. If you reach out to me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will not disappoint you. How many times in life have we been disappointed, right? Right? Declares Yahweh. All that you have lost, I will restore. I will regather you from all the nations where I've scattered you. I will bring you back to the land from which I've exiled you, declares Yahweh. You know, how many times in our lives have we been scattered or been somewhere we shouldn't be, you know? And God goes, no, 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 come back over here. Come back over here. Let me bring you. You know, and sometimes it's not even a place. Sometimes it's just in our mind. We're scattered somewhere. We've allowed our heart to go somewhere it shouldn't have gone. You know, and God's going, no, 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 no. Come back over here. Come back up. Let me bring you back into the fold. Let me bring you back into my love. Let me give you an expected end. Let me bring you into hope and prosperity and blessing. You know, and when we realize that, then we know. There's another story I want to tell, and this is going to bring me to my next point. Have you ever seen, and this is how my mind works, 62-year-old mind now, but, you know, you go on and people do these videos or reels or whatever, I don't know what they call them. Anyway, but they do these videos on, you go on your phone. And in the video down the center, and I wanted to bring a picture of it, but you'll see their face, and they're talking, and they're doing whatever spiel they're doing. And then outside here on this side and on this side, it's kind of blurred. Okay, well, in my mind, I'm going, what's on the outside? Why is it blurred? Why are they doing it that way? You know? But the reality is, it's a narrow vision so that you look right at the person and you hear exactly what they're saying. You're not because if it were me and I could see all this, which there are some videos where you can see all this, I get distracted from what they're saying. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. You're selling something or you're, you know, whatever, you know. Even sometimes they do it on like, people if they're preaching or whatever, they'll do it where they're. So they narrow the vision. Okay? So sometimes with God, what we need to do is narrow our vision. We need to stay, you know, we need to quit looking to the right, looking to the left, and narrow our vision of life. But then there's times where if we're not too careful, we'll miss what God has for us out here. You know, we have to stay focused on Jesus, but we also have to be aware of the fact that, you know, God, you're all around me. And you've got me. And so don't let me miss an opportunity. Don't let me miss, you know, don't let me get so, sometimes don't get so kind of crazy about where we're headed and what we're doing that we miss an opportunity to minister to someone or give out what we have to someone so God can grow us to the next level, okay? So, and this I have to say, Pastor Dan gave me this scripture. He read it from the Passion Translation, which was great. It's Romans 15:13, which is my last point, is he is our hope. He is our hope. No one else is our hope. No president is our hope. Understand me? Nobody that's out there leading. No influencer is our hope. Okay? No person out there, you need to understand that when you're listening to somebody on your phone or you're listening to somebody on the tube or you're listening to somebody on YouTube, you have to understand those people are just like you. They put on their pants the same way you do every day. They, you know what? People portray a life sometimes, but I'll say this like I've said it. I said it to Mary Lou and to Tricia this morning. Nothing is ever as it seems, okay? People live a life. Christian people live lives, and they make mistakes. And I'm not saying that people aren't honest and good, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you don't put your hope in a person. You don't look at somebody that you're listening to, because they'll disappoint you eventually. And you'll say, well, you know, I can't do this anymore because so-and-so did such-and-such. And you know what? And God's going, wait a minute, that's not what the Word says. You know what? People walk in life and they do things and things happen. So if I would caution you about anything, you know, look at who you're listening to, you know, and I'm not saying that you just go in there, you know, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You know, if somebody's not preaching the Word, then I'm sorry, they're not preaching the gospel. They're not living the gospel if they're not preaching the Word. If they're living some pie in the sky, you know, 3 points of, you know, you know, that's what they're living, okay? And at some point, that's going to fail. Because things on this world, they're going to pass away. And the Word doesn't. It lives forever and ever. It's like, it's, do you understand that the Word is Jesus kind of in a written form? It's God in a written form. It's his living Word. It's the bread of life, you know. So if somebody's out there preaching something and your spirit's going, whoa, you know, you hear these alarm bells going off in your mind and in your heart, that's God telling you, hey, look, listen, pay attention. You know, I'm not saying that you won't get some good things from some of those people. I'm not saying that some of those faith things and prosperity things and, you know, blessing and grace and all those things, those are great. And some of it's very Word-driven, okay? But understand, I would just caution you, because sometimes we get on a tangent And we get off in left field, and God's going, come back here. Because there's balance. I'll tell you that. That's one thing. I'll tell you, y'all, who knows Mama Beams? One of the things she says, and this is something I learned from her, she always says this. She always, let me get a drink of water, and I'll say this. She always says this. Everything's done decently and in order. And I tell you what, when I came in this church, we had there was a group of women in this church that were, I was part of one of these women. A lot of them are not here now, but they were very, very, you could tell each one of these women were very prophetic, very, it was a kind of an elite group of women. They were very, they had gifts of the Spirit that would move in them. But we had our Pastor Beams, Sister Roberta, that would tell us, hey, you know, this is how it's done. This is how we, you know, and you know, somebody said to me one day, well, what, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, I just can't hold back if it's moving to me. And I said, no. I said, obviously, that's not the Spirit of the Lord. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is a gentleman. He knows, you know, the Word says, and Sister Beams would say this all the time, everything's done decently and in order. You know, God has an order to what he's doing. You may not always agree with it. I'll say that. You know, you may think another thing, but God has a plan. You know, I come up here some Sunday mornings, and I'll look at what we're going to sing, and I'll see something up there, and I think, yeah, God, that's a cool song. That's where it's going to fall. I have no idea. You know, I have no idea what I know or think or talking about. And the Holy Spirit will fall. You know, nothing might have happened up until then. And then somebody, like I watched one Sunday, when Melissa was going to teach this that one Sunday, I thought, well, this is where, you know, I told Michael, I said, this is what I told myself. And then you sang, and I realized that that was where the anointing, you sang, and when she started teaching, everything fell into place. I had no idea what I was thinking, you know. And the Lord just reminded me, see, you don't know everything. I know my thoughts are higher. My plans are higher. My purpose is driven of it, you know. And so that's what my point is you need to get yourself in line with that. When you think you know about something, you don't necessarily know. You don't necessarily know. The how, the what, the when, you have to just say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust you. I trust you. I'd bring it back to that. But he is our hope. He is our hope. Narrow your vision to what he's going to do and then be open, you know, because I would have never thought, this was another story I will tell. Sister Beam said to me one time, why don't you teach women? Why don't you work with Melissa on that? And I just went, in my mind, I'm going, oh God, is she serious? Is she serious? You know, but the Lord really began to work on me. And he said, this is a place I want you to be in. This is something I want you to do. This is something you can do. I want you to do that. And you know what? As I began to kind of delve into helping her and seeing what she does and what Sister Roberta did at that time, God really began to minister to me and really began to, and it gave me such joy, such pleasure. And I said, Lord, you know, I never realized how much joy and pleasure could be in a ministry. And so I would say this. Okay, so God is our hope, right? We know that. And God gives us a plan and a purpose. So we have to kind of delve into what are my passions? We have to make sure we don't get weary with well-doing. We have to make sure that we cultivate something in us that we know is like a fire, a passion. And say, God, what can you do with this ability that I have? You know, and you may think that it is nothing. Like, I would imagine that Barb at some point thought, crocheting, how could that be a ministry? It has been a tremendous ministry to a lot of people. We have sent her things, their things, all the people she teaches, we have sent them across the world. They have gone into the hands of people who literally spent, I know of one person personally who spent his last days on this earth, and he had a blanket that we made from this church. It was such a source and a comfort for his wife to see that on him. So don't downplay something that God's given you in your heart. I mean, it could be something simple as baking a cake or growing vegetables. I don't know what you can do. I can make a cake, but I cannot grow vegetables, as far as I know. So, I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? There's something that you can do. There's some kind of a purpose, a plan. So I would say to you, you are a blessing to God. He wants to use you. All you have to do is be obedient. You just have to open yourself up. That's all you have to do. So,